Hi guys, welcome back for episode 39. So last week we discussed market positioning and how being the obvious choice attracts your ideal clients and builds authority. The key takeaway with last week was that strong positioning drives awareness, but awareness alone doesn't pay the bills. So today we're going to be talking about what happens after prospects notice you and how to turn that interest into action and revenue.
Yeah, well, conversion rates, Chloe, like the real growth engine within your business, you know, and this is why we always say that, you know, your website is a massive part of that growth engine. Your traffic itself is pretty expensive, right? And also converting existing leads is far more cost effective than what it is to try and convert new leads and new prospects, because they already know you. They know who you are. You already spent the time nurturing them. They know what you're already talking about, how you can help them, what you can offer and things like that, you know?
And even those little small improvements in your conversion rates compound into significant revenue gains, especially if you have a high ticket item, nurturing those current clients. You know, the ones that know, like, and trust you will compound to create that revenue growth that you're really looking for.
Yeah, the thing is, you can do all that with the additional ad spend as well,
yep.
Which is what everybody wants, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of SaaS companies often see exponential growth by optimizing their free trial to paid conversion rates. And there are other things you can do, but essentially, any business with a strong conversion rate optimization strategy generally always outperform their competitors, even when they've got a smaller marketing budget. Conversion optimization allows smarter resource allocation as well, and also helps with a better ROI. So it's definitely something that every business should be investing in as part of their overall growth strategy.
Now, your conversions as well is a lot more than just getting sales. It's about those micro conversions. So from the first click to the form submission to contacting you and nurturing them. And then you want them to become the advocate so that they're selling your business without you having to even do anything.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing is, I mean, this is why, like, when we are building our platform, our growth platform for our clients and ourselves as well, you know, that's why we focus on a lot of, like, the core web vitals and, you know, setting up funnels and,
yeah,
you know, conversion points and things like that as well for prospects. So when they're visiting their site or product pages or service pages, that they're always being funneled into taking the action, whatever that action may be, whether it's to sign up or download a product or an ebook or whatever it is. But it's really important for to continue to help drive growth.
Awesome. So some key components of a high converting funnel. We have done another podcast on the funnel as well, the flywheel, which we use. So I'll link that down below for you guys as well. But the first thing you want to do is make it instantly obvious what you offer and who it's for. Clarity, it will be your best friend here. Now, an example of this is Dropbox. So they clearly communicate that they store your files online, you can access it anywhere, and you can share easily. So you know what you're expecting when you're, you know, working with them.
That's right. And it's really good practice as well to make sure that clarity is key there, you know, because clarity converts at the end of the day. And the easier it is for people to understand what you do and how you can help will help drive those conversions much more than what would be if someone's sitting there trying to work out what it is that you actually do.
That you actually do, you know? Yeah. Second one is relevant. So align your messaging with audience intent and needs. A good example of this is ads that are targeting business owners should focus on productivity or revenue, not just the general benefits. Now, this is something, especially in B2B, that you should be focusing on, is how are you going to make your ideal client's life easier or generate them more revenue? What are you going to do for them, and why should they hop on with your business? Not just a case of, oh, look, I can, you know, I have this feature on my software, look at this. While they need to see that, the main thing you need to focus on is the benefit that they're going to have from this, the productivity and the revenue increase. Third one is trust. So you need to use social proof, testimonials, have case studies, certifications, and some guarantees. Now, a good example of this is if you're an e-commerce website, they often increase their conversions by adding product reviews and trust badges, and it just gives that extra layer of trust and protection. Fourth one is user experience. So this is UX. This is what we spoke about last week in our previous podcast. So it's creating a frictionless journey. So having those fast loading pages, those intuitive navigation, mobile optimization, you want to make it, you know, as fast and quick and easy for your customers to access your website or your app or whatever it is that you're, you know, you have them on. The minute it takes longer than, I think it's like, what, 2 seconds is like the where the people will flick off. The longer it is for that, you know, the attention span of people in 2025 going into 2026, it needs to be fast. And I think that's something that us at Adonis Media really pride ourselves on, and you especially, since you're, you know, the head of the software side of things at Adonis, as our system is always, you know, super fast, and you're always making sure it's 100, 100, 100 for our clients and us.
Yeah, so Google provide page speed, but basically what that does is it actually checks the user experience for many different things, like time to first byte, which is where, you know, the first byte of information comes back from the server once the page has been requested, and a whole host of different things, which includes even user accessibility. So, you know, does your website allow for people with disabilities for to use it, maybe with eye problems and things like that? But one of the big things that Google talks about is Core Web Vitals. And that Core Web Vitals is all about speed and efficiency and, you know, the user experience. And it's, you know, most of the websites out there don't even pass the minimum Core Web Vitals. And they certainly don't get you generally 100% across the board either, especially when you're loading in other scripts and things. Part of the platform that we provide, we're always innovating, we're always updating things, you know, so the code is working and loading in as efficiently as humanly possible. And just the other week there, we actually increased the loading time, the application boot time is called, by 90%. So that makes a massive difference in Core Web Vitals, which we're now going through that validation again with Google with that. So yeah, listen, user experience is like something 100%. And I'll tell you something else, with the advent of AI, AI is also looking at the user experience, and it's also now looking to see if your page has like pricing information, if it has guarantees, if it has trust points, you know, like reviews and things like that as well. And it uses that cross references that with other websites to deliver that content to the user. So if your website doesn't have these points and it's not fast and it's not doesn't provide a good user experience, then your website will be nowhere.
Yeah. And the fifth one is offer strength. So the perceived value must exceed the perceived risk. An example of this could be a free trial, a limited time discount, or just a bonus kind of guide that can tip prospects into taking action with your business. Okay, so understanding the customer journey to improve conversion rate. So we have the customer journey, which is, you know, the simple version is awareness, consideration, decision, and action. And each stage requires specific messaging. So your awareness, you focus on the value and the credibility. The consideration is building that trust, showing proof and educating them, so nurturing them. And the decision is you want to reduce the friction, the, you know, offer incentives and highlight that kind of urgency to get them on to take that action.
You actually see a lot of this on e-commerce sites, you know, where they're trying to reduce the friction by having like, we do the same thing actually on our contact page, where you have a review or a host of reviews with maybe a star rating next to that the cart button. You also got incentives generally offered there as well, and upsells and cross-sales and highlighting urgency. You usually see this a lot with websites where, you know, they've got a limited time sale. You know, you need to buy now. You've only got 2 minutes left to purchase. And that helps, actually helps people make the decisions for better conversions.
Yeah, and you see this as well. If you're on e-commerce sites and you've gone to look at something and then you'll get an email 5 minutes later that says, hey, we saw you looking at something. Here's 20% off so you can, you know, get it. So that's offering the incentive and highlighting the urgency of, you know, you need to get this. You've seen it. You want it. So your micro conversions matter. So those email signups, the content downloads and the clicks, they all signal engagement. Your bottleneck analysis. So some tools that you can use for this is heat maps, funnel analytics, scroll tracking and session recordings. And you want to identify where your prospects are dropping off and test different solutions so that they take action on your website.
And that's quite important to do as well, you know, doing some split testing. There's not really that many people that actually do testing, you know, testing creative, testing different button colors, button text, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many different things that you can test, but you need to make sure that you're only testing one thing at a time so that you know what's working and what's not.
And it might sound silly or dumb in a sense to be like, oh, a button color that's red compared to green, you know, they'll both do the same, but they actually don't because it's all an emotional trigger for somebody.
That's right. And, you know, common sense would say that because traffic lights are red to stop and green to go, there was a study done that basically said that by changing the button from green to red, actually increased conversions.
I think it highlights that urgency because red is always like go in sense of like a bull.
Have you ever looked at like stores or marketplaces like Amazon as a prime example where their buttons are kind of orange and yellow? You know, I'm sure they've tested that, and that's the colour which, you know, allows them to help with the conversions. In actual fact, Amazon is a good example of everything that we're kind of talking about here as well.
Mm. So some examples are that SaaS sign-up flows often see drop-offs at the payment stage. So simplifying or adding clarity will increase those completion rates. And yeah, the e-commerce carts abandoned due to surprise shipping costs. So adding that upfront transparency will help boost conversions.
There are some practical strategies that can help you improve your conversion rates. The first one is to audit the top performing pages for clarity, user experience and the strength of the offer, which is hugely important. I mean, these things need to be tested all the time. Strengthen your value proposition. That should obviously show that it clearly answers why should they choose you. Generally, when we're talking to our clients, you know, irrespective of their industry or what it is that they're doing or selling, I mean, even if it's a service page, you know, you should always have a clear value proposition on the hero section so that people know exactly what that page is about, how it can help them and things like that as well. So when you have things like that, you can actually have a look at analytics on Google or whatever other analytics platform you might be using and just check the bounce rates of those pages, you know. Do your users scroll at all, you know? When you're on any page, really, try and leverage social proof as much as possible by implementing reviews, customer testimonials, especially through video. You can monitor media mentions. You can do media mentions and social mentions as well, the social channels, and also case studies. You should always be looking to optimize your call to actions. The experiment with copy, you can add different colors for urgency. You can add, you can place them at different places. You can put multiple call to actions on the same page as people are browsing down the page so that you're catching them when it resonates with them and they're ready to go, rather than just at the bottom or at the top when sometimes they're not ready to buy. And you can reduce friction by simplifying forms. And generally, you know, what they say is when a form has, you know, multiple fields which they don't actually really need to have, it actually reduces conversion massively for each additional field. So what you can do here is you can build out forms which automatically populate in the background, if you like, and then hides the fields based on if you've got a CRM. Now, HubSpot do this. Our platform can do this as well. And that just allows you to build the form data in the background where it's already pre-populated, which means it reduces the amount of fields that people need to fill in. You can also reduce the steps and just remove anything that's just unnecessary options on that kind of page on the form.
With that as well, especially when we're coming into such an AI-driven society, I guess, people are less hesitant to share their personal information. They, you know, all they want to share is maybe their first name and their phone number or their email address. But even at that, some people are hesitant to share their emails because of the spam emails that, you know, happen and stuff. So you need to be specific and direct on what you actually need. Because you can all, once you create that connection with your ideal client, then you can ask for the additional information, and that's where you capture that.
You can also enrich this data as well, especially for B2B. You know, if you're needing more information about your target ICP, you can use data enrichment APIs and things to add that information in there. Another practical strategy is always be testing. So test headlines, test layouts, test offers, button text. You need to measure that. You need to continually iterate and then just keep repeating that all the time until you get to a winning formula. Now, there are some behavioral psychology tips as well included in this, which are, you know, use scarcity and urgency carefully. You know, so things like limited spots available, or, you know, get 10% off now within the next 3 minutes or whatever that might be. Just try and watch what you're doing with that and make sure you're testing that as well.
You don't want to do it too often as well. You're not looking premium. You're looking like, you know, you're just trying to get rid of stock or maybe get clients if you've, you know, it can come across a negative way.
Yeah, or you've always got a sale on, for instance.
Yeah.
You know. Another one is highlight the benefits rather than the features. You know, so what will this tool do for me? Will it give me back my time so that I've got more time to do other things? Will it make me more money, which is what everyone kind of wants, et cetera, et cetera. And you can use directional cues as well, like arrows and images or contrast to guide the eye. You see this a lot on ads which are selling beauty products, you know, where depending on where the model's eyes are focused, that's where the people want the prospect's eyes to be focused. So generally they'll be focused on the product, for instance, that they're trying to sell to the prospect or the customer.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things that can lead to better conversion on a page. We've talked a fair amount of them, but other things is, you know, you can change it. If you've got like a form which has the word submit, to submit that form, even though you are submitting that form, you know, submit isn't really the best, you know, button text to use.
Yeah.
Actionable, yeah, that's exactly right. So you'd want to change that by... to say, change it to get my free guide if you download the product. And that can increase clicks by up to 30%. So, you know, that will obviously vary depending on what the offer is, what the other text is, the headline and everything, which all combines to help you get that conversion.
Yeah. So some common mistakes that will kill your conversions is asking for too much too soon. So like we mentioned earlier, if you have 10 million fields and you're wanting to know somebody's first name, middle name, last name, phone number, email, address, where their first dog was born, they're just going to swipe straight out. You've lost them. It's too much information. It's taking too much time, too much friction. And you're just going to lose them. Second one is confusing or slow landing pages. Nobody in the history of the earth being alive has ever wanted to go into a landing page and it either take too long or be confusing that they don't actually even understand, one, maybe what you're selling, or two, who you are. third one is generic messaging. So it's that messaging that doesn't speak to your target audience. If your target audience is 30 to 40-year-old women, you don't want to be saying lingo that's targeted towards maybe 16 and 18-year-old women. It's not going to resonate the same. Fourth one is your lack of urgency or clear next steps. So that's kind of, you know, somebody being confused or being stuck in that bit of, you know, well, what do I do? It adds that bit of, you know, they back off a little bit. Next one is ignoring mobile optimization. Now, this is something we see in so many websites, is they look at it on a big screen and they're like, yeah, sweet, looks good. You go onto it on a website and half the buttons aren't there. You can't click through. It's, you know, the words are missing or they're overstretched. That's not what you want. You want it needs to look good on a large screen, on a iPad, on a computer, on a phone, on a tablet. It needs to look good on everything. And you need to, you know, you can use Inspector on Google to check that. Next one is overlooking data. So all your decisions should be informed by your analytics. It shouldn't just be guesswork or, oh, well, I like it this way, so this is how it needs to be. You need to look at the data and make everything data informed. That's a big one, very big one. And the last one is underestimating your micro conversions. So those small little, you know, form submission or contact, conversation, it's all little conversions for them to make that big action.
That's right. And to be honest, I mean, even minor misalignments in messaging or user experience can cost significantly in terms of revenue and, you know, conversion is a cumulative effect of small optimizations.
Yeah.
So, optimization should be always, you should always be optimization. It should be part and parcel of your overall strategy. It's constantly moving, like everything else. I know in business there's so many different things to think about, but this is definitely one that can help move the needle.
Yeah. So some actionable takeaways for you guys to implement this week. I want you to audit your top pages, emails, and funnels for clarity and friction points. Strengthen your offer, so highlight that value and reduce that perceived risk. Third is use social proof and credibility signals consistently over your website, your emails, your social media, and simplify the path to action. So remove any of those unnecessary steps. If you don't need someone's address, then remove that from, you know, the form field. Next one is test one variable at a time and track your data rigorously. And the last one is optimize every stage of the customer journey. So from the very first click to the final purchase to nurture them, it should be that flywheel of consistency. Awesome. So for episode 40, we are shifting the focus from conversion to traffic quality. So we're going to dive into strategies to attract qualified, high intent visitors to your website so that your funnel isn't just full of people that are clicking through or leads that aren't ready to buy. If you want to stop wasting traffic on unqualified visitors and start filling your pipeline with people who actually want to convert, then episode 40 is one that you do not want to miss. This is where you'll be making the money.
Great stuff. Look forward to it.
Great. We'll see you on the next one, guys. Bye.